And I just began asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do? Okay, you called me to start a church somewhere. Where? What's it going to look like? The KBC has this basic training you got to go through. So I went through the basic training. Some of you have met Alan Witham. Alan Witham works for the KBC, and he has been a big help and supporter in all that we have ever done here. So he does this little internship, and I do an internship with him, and it's called Lakeside Community Church. It was a church start, and I helped them. And all through that year as being a first grade teacher, God began laying out a vision of what a church could be. And then we started just praying over areas of where God could lead us. And we were thinking, God, wherever you want us to go, we'll go. Whatever you want us to say, we're going to say. Whatever you want us to do, we're going to do. And so we just started looking at different areas of Kentucky, and we just started praying over those areas. Fairview Baptist, my home church, church I grew up in. I grew up then, ever since I was, before I was born, I was going to that church. You know, 9 months before I was born, I was there. And I grew up, went through the youth group there, the children's ministries there, sang our little songs and plays on the stage, you know, down by the creek bank, and Fat Jehoshaphat, there was a play. They might not title that now because it might not be politically correct. I don't know. They might change the name of that. But anyway, and we went through that to the youth. I helped lead the youth and talked to Mike Ross. He's the pastor at Fairview. And he said, you know, we want to be a part of what's going on, and we want to help get something started. And so Fairview Baptist said, we'll partner with you. So we got Fairview Baptist, Kentucky Baptist Convention, North American Mission Board on board, and they're all pulling together and saying, hey, we're going to help you start a church. And it was here. And when we moved to Mount Sterling, we didn't know, but Susan, I'm glad to see you, Susan Maddie. But you lived in Bath County. So we didn't really know anybody in Mount Sterling. Michelle knew Fair Jane. That's it. Then we heard through the grapevine from Gary Bellamy, pastor in Breathitt County, that Chester, where's Chester? Back in the back, that Chester was around town. And so we call up Chester and say, man, we're starting a church. You're going to do what? And so we met in our home. And so here we are, we're in our home, 129 Swiss Stone Way. That was the first meeting place of Living Water Church. And so there was about eight of us. And we're gathered in the living room, okay? I've got this easel with this writing pad on it. And I've got Living Water Church. I'm like, this is the name of the church, you know? And I'm like, and here's what's going to happen. Okay, there's eight of us. We're sitting around a living room table, and I'm like, here's what's going to happen. We're going to start a church. And just imagine, one day we're going to be able to have music, live music, praise band kind of music, you know? Boom, boom, boom. How many of y'all like our praise team today? Awesome. Because this is kind of what I was seeing in my mind, but, you know, we're in a living room. We're playing DVDs, you know, and trying to sing to that. And if you know how much I can sing, there's Mike. Are they ready? All right. I've never done Skype before, so I don't know what. Can they hear me? Can you hear us?
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
Ready, Grant?
Ready.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Hey, wonderful. How's your birthday going?
You said, but we're here having church, and we want to say thank you, Fairview Baptist Church, for all of your love and support. And Mike, thank you for all you have done and helping what God has done through all this process. We love you.
Love you too, Fairview. Would you stand? Stand.
I think, look back there, turn around, look back there, and wave at them. There's the camera. that great? That's awesome. Where was I? Fairview, helping. And so here we are, we're in the living room, and we're sitting there casting vision, saying, here's what we're going to do. And so we do our first outreach event, okay? We call them our splash event, our first outreach event. There was something around here called court day. Have anybody of y'all ever heard of court day? No. I'd never heard of court day. I'd only been to Mount Sterling one time in my life, I think, before God called me here. And it was when I was on my way to Lexington, and I stopped at McDonald's out there by the, on the Cracker Barrel exit. And about got hit trying to get out. And I said, this is a crazy town. I'm never coming back through here. Have y'all realized if you say God, you'll never do something? And that's where you end up. And so here we go. So it's court day. Jeremy made us some shirts. They were orange. It said Living Water Church. It was orange. And we had about 150 water bottles. There's about eight of us. We thought, whew. That's a lot of water, you know. And so I'd never been to court day before. I had no idea what it was like. And, you know, of course, now I know how court day is. Sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's not. This was a pretty good court day weekend. It was somewhat warm and hot. So we're walking down Swiss Stone, right? We're going towards the post office. Of course, the post office is not yet in the main section, right? It's before you get there. So we're carrying these wagons with water. And before we get to before we pass the post office, we'd given them all out. They were all gone. We're like, wow, that was fun. That was good. It's gone. But we've always wanted this phrase to be a part of who we are. Come to the water. Because we realize that Jesus is the living water. And so we had some preview services at McNabb Middle School. We did that for a few months. And then we got the storefront building. And we was in the storefront for about a couple years. And it was wild. Crazy. It could probably, the storefront was about half this size or something like that. I don't know. But we just kept on preaching. God's doing something amazing. He's going to do something great. We just go out there and keep loving people, showing people Jesus and preaching his name, standing on God's word. Let's keep asking people to what? Come to the water. And we did that. We got blessed to have the Grassy Lick location. A guy by the name of Chris Wurzel came by, and he was building a church out in Elliott County, and Butch Kiger, he was on staff at Fairview at that time. He said, I want you to meet this man named Chris. He builds churches for people who need churches. And he came up and he looked at the storefront and he said, yeah, y'all need a building bad. He's like, you have people coming to church? He's like, I'm surprised you have anybody. And so he's like, we'll get this building. We got that building built. And we were excited. Now, that building, some of you maybe have not visited us when we're out at Grass Lick, I don't know. But that building could fit just in one section of this. But it was an awesome place. And God used it to do some awesome things. God saved many people. Now, for those of you who weren't with us last week, the last week in our building of Grassy Lick was the most amazing week. Amazing day, one of the most amazing days of my life as the pastor at Living Water Church. In the 8:30 service, we had someone give their life to Jesus. In the 9:50 service, we had somebody give their life to Jesus. In the 11:10 service, we had somebody give their life to Jesus. We met back that evening to pray over the building. We had a young man give his life to Jesus. Four people. Each time when we met out there, I wish we would have met out there 20 more times that day. And I don't know about you, but some of you who walked in this building and when it was all full of stuff, I don't know if you could have ever imagined that it might look like this. We've all said, but it would be great to have one service, wouldn't it? All get together and say, woo, we love you, Jesus, all together. Today we get to do that. Today we have done that. And today we give praise to who? Jesus. And we ask people to come where? To the water. Come to the water. There was a passage that I held on to in those days. It's found in Galatians. In Galatians, it says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Throughout the years of planting this church and being this church, man, there were some times when it was like, whoa, what is going on? Is it ever going to work? Is it going to fly? I mean, the first couple years, I didn't know. And we just were being part of the Parks and Rec, and we were doing this and that, and we just kept on meeting together, worshiping together. And, you know, nothing was happening for a long time. And this verse here, "Let us not lose heart in doing good." Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Keep on doing good, because there will be a time when there will be a harvest. And so, as a church, guess what we can't do? We can never grow weary in doing good. We can never grow weary, because there's always people out there that need to know who? Jesus. And they need to come where? To the water. How many of y'all know some folks that need to come to the water? They need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's why we say, don't grow weary. Is it hard? Yeah. Does life ever get discouraging? Absolutely. Is there pain? Yes. Is there tough times? Yes. Don't give up. Don't quit. You keep plowing. You keep planting. You keep watering. You keep you keep doing all that you need to do, because one day, a harvest comes. And when that time comes, whoo, rejoice in the Lord. There's a lady in the Bible, John chapter 4, that she went to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." That verse is not up there yet. We'll get there. "For his disciples had gone away into the city, and therefore there was a Samaritan woman. And she said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?' For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Look at verse 10. "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you" what? "Living water." The Samaritan woman, she was coming in a hot time of the day, an odd time of the day. Why? Because she was ashamed. She had a shady past. And a lot of people would probably mock her, ridicule her, and other ladies might put her down because of some of the things that she had done in her past. And so she would come at the time when she thought maybe nobody would be around, and then Jesus comes and he speaks to her. She's a Samaritan woman. Jews do not speak to Samaritans. And then this is a man Jew speaking to a Samaritan woman even more. And he tells her, "If you would know who's asking you, I would give you living water." And her response is this. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will" what? "Thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall" what? "Never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up" to what? "Eternal life." Jesus is going beyond the mere physical. This lady thinks she needs a physical need met. And she says, "Boy, I'd like to have this water that I would never thirst. That way I'd never have to come back to this well and draw water." And Jesus is saying, no, you got it. You got it completely wrong. I'm talking about something deeper than just your physical need. Something deeper that you need. And he brings it out. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come away here to draw." And he said, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." Now notice what's happened. She's had five husbands, and now she's living with another one. That's six. She is trying to fill her life with fleshly needs. And she's trying to do it her way. And she's tried 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She's tried 6 men, and they ain't worked. Women, how many of y'all can say, a guy can't change your life? That is weak. Y'all should have had a big amen on that. Come on, ladies. A man is not your answer. A man is not your hope. You know, some ladies are like, if I could just get a man, if I could just get a man. No, a man's not going to change your life. It's not going to make your life better. The 6 is the number of man. Her answer was right there looking at her right in the eye. The 7th man. She needed the 7th man. She needed Jesus, not as a husband, but as a Savior. We all need Jesus as our Savior. Let me just save you some time. You cannot fill that void and you cannot fill that thirst through fleshly ways. It will not happen. The woman said, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, he says, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called the Christ, and when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow. I'm what you need. I'm your source. This well that you get water from, that's good to meet your physical needs, but you need something greater than that. You need salvation. You need the Messiah. You need God. Some of you today, you don't have God in your life. And you're hewing out your own cisterns. Jeremiah says it this way. In Jeremiah, it says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of what? Living waters. To hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no what? Water. So my people have done two things. They forgot about me. They haven't acknowledged me. They don't give me recognition. They don't give me the due glory. And then they've went out and tried to dig their own wells for their own water. And it's broken wells. It doesn't even hold water. You know what this lady was doing? She was drinking from a broken cistern. You know what a lot of us do? We do the same thing. We drink from a broken cistern. We think that there is life in things that there is not life in. So we think that there is life in fame. And so we get on this, we're like a hamster in a wheel, just going in circles, trying to make ourselves known. We think we need more stuff. If I can get more stuff, I'll be happy. If I can get a bigger house, I'll be happy. If I can get an extra room, I'll be happy. If I can get a better look, I'll be happy. If I can, and we go on this, if we go on this rat race, and we're drinking from broken cisterns. We think it's through maybe sex, relationships. If I could just feel that need, that intimacy. And some of you, you think that if I could just have a different husband, everything would be better. No, it won't. Guys, some of you think, if I could just have a different wife, everything would be better. No, it wouldn't. And you drink from these cisterns. Now, we don't have wells today. So it's kind of hard for us to visualize this because we don't go. It'd kind of be like this. A lot of us, we drink bottled water now, right? It's good, clean, pure, right? It's not dirty. It's not murky looking. When we try to fill the void in our life through our flesh, you know what it's like? I'm going to go ahead and warn you, this might disgust you, okay? So get ready. It's like drinking water from the toilet. Now, I don't think any of us would go and say, boy, I really need a drink of water, and go to the toilet, get your cup, scoop it up. Boy, that was good. Would you? No. You wouldn't. But when you go to the bottle and you think that has your answers, that's what you're doing. Because when you drink the bottle of Bud and you look down at the bottom, you're not going to be wiser. Where's Calvin when I need him? But it's true. It's true. You'll not find your answer there. When you're sneaking around and you're having an affair, that's not going to give you life. When you're on the internet and you think nobody's looking but God sees, it's toilet water. Jesus says, come to me. I'm the living water. I'm your source. You know what this church has got to be about? It's got to be about providing the pure, refreshing, pure water of who Jesus is and pointing people to him and saying, it's all about him. He's what you need. If you're struggling today, you need him. If you're depressed today, you need him. If you feel like life's falling to pieces on you, you need him. If you feel angry, bitter, you need him. If you're prideful, boastful, you need him. Whatever in life is going on, your greatest need is to drink from the fountain of living water. It is him. Jesus stood up. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths, in John chapter 7. And in this last festival that the Jews would celebrate, it was kind of a harvest celebration, a prayer for rain, a prayer of thanksgiving, where they would have branches and they would just praise the Lord, and they would have this water where the priest would take a golden jar and fill it full of water, and they would go to the altar and they would pour water on that once a day. And in John 7. Verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast. Now watch this. For 6 days they would march around, and then they would end up by pouring water on the altar. On the seventh day they went 7 times. Okay? And they poured the water on the altar. Now watch what happens. On the last day of this great feast, Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That's bold. He is saying, what you all are symbolizing and what you're doing and what you're hoping for, I'm him. I'm the Messiah. I'm your hope. I'm your answer. I'm your Savior. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And John tells us what he's talking about there. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He says, if you come to me, I will give you the Holy Spirit, who will be a river of living water through you, that will give you life, that will give you hope, that will give you peace, that will give you joy, that will give you love, that will give you gentleness, self-control. All those things come from who? Him. Those are good gifts, are they not? Today, some of you are drinking from water, from places that don't hold water. And you need to come. Come where? To the water. You need to come to the water today. In your bulletins, there's a little place where you can take notes. And it has main thought, I think. I don't know what it says. I wrote it, but I don't know what it says. Main idea, maybe. Then it says action plan. Here's the main thought. You ready? Write this down. This is long. Jesus is the living water. Write that down. You need to write that down and you need to remember it. Jesus is the living water. Do you know Christ? Have you given your life to Him? Action plan is this. Praise team, I have no idea where they are. But if they're around, they can start getting us ready for invitation. And as they get us ready for invitation, here's what I want you to think of. Here's your action plan. Here's your action plan. If you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior today, your action plan is this. During this invitation time, we're going to ask you to come to the water. Come to the water. Quit drinking from places that don't hold water. You say, well, you know, you just don't know, Grant, what I've done. Doesn't matter. This lady, she didn't have a good reputation. Well, so what? Because God redeemed her. Some of you say, I'm too broken, too messed up. God redeems. He restores. There is nothing that you can do that God cannot forgive.